is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. A large storm system has been moving across the country. continues to hit the Midwest today. Aberdeen National Weather Service meteorologist Amy Parkin says parts of the Midwest are seeing as much as 1 to 2 inches of rain.
We've got some precipitation that's wrapping around this system that's affecting a good portion of the northern plains right now. We've had a bit of a lull in the action in a few spots, particularly the far eastern part of South Dakota. Parts of western Minnesota are kind of in a lull at the moment. But have gotten some precipitation over the last 12 hours or so.
According to Parkin, we should see rain through the weekend.
The highest amount occurred across the south central part of South Dakota for our area last night, associated with some convection. So there was some pretty high precipitation amounts, especially around the Pier area in south, where we had a few locations reports, inch and a quarter to an inch and a half, maybe a little bit more. Across the eastern part of the state, we've seen some lesser amounts. Here in Aberdeen, we're sitting at 3,600 so far. But we do anticipate more development across the eastern part of the state and into western Minnesota as well. As we go into the afternoon, could be some thunderstorm activity with that as well. So maybe we'll start to see some higher precipitation amounts.
Hallock, Minnesota saw very little snow cover throughout the winter. However, Dan Youngren says there was enough moisture to get things started this spring.
In November, we picked up over 10 inches of snow up north here, and that all melted and went straight down. And then in February, we had that rain event that went through, and we picked up a half to three quarters of an inch of rain. That also pretty much just went straight down. So, yeah, we had some events throughout the winter. Certainly not what we're used to, that is for darn sure, but I think from now on everybody'd be a little more comfortable with a little more snow and a little more cover on the ground. Right now it's beautiful seeding. It's conditions I haven't seen for many, many years.
Colombia is the first country to restrict imports of U.S. beef from the 8 states with confirmed cases of bovine influenza A. U.S. Meat Exports Federation Vice President of Communications Joe Sheely says that discussions are ongoing between USDA and Colombia to resolve the issue.
Well, the restrictions imposed by Colombia don't have any scientific basis, and we're pleased that our other trading partners have chosen to follow the science on this matter. We continue to provide as much information as we can to USDA as they work with Colombia. We appreciate their efforts to try to resolve this situation with Colombia, but right now that's the only trading partner that has imposed restrictions on U.S. beef as a result of the HPAI situation.
While beef exports to Colombia make up a small percentage of U.S. global beef exports, the restrictions will still be felt.
Our exports to Colombia last year were just under $40 million. And for perspective, total beef exports in 2023 totaled just under $10 billion. So Colombia is not a huge destination for U.S. beef, but that doesn't change the fact that this is very impactful for exporters who have established a customer base in Colombia and for those customers, those importers and their clientele in Colombia that rely on U.S. beef. We are their largest supplier of imported beef, and so we certainly want to get it resolved.
A recent federal order restricting transportation of dairy cattle unless they can produce a negative testing of bovine influenza A has the approval of many in the dairy industry. National Milk Producers Federation Director of Regulatory Affairs Michaela Henselman says that the order comes at a time when dairy farmers are ready to be proactive in fighting against the spreading of the virus.
We think the action is appropriate and that dairy farmers are ready to take this proactive approach to ensuring that we better understand the spread of the virus and do what we can to limit that spread and ensure the health of our animals and workers. A lot of unknown kind of still about how HIPAA is being transmitted between cattle. So we do think that this action is appropriate.
The transportation restriction is an important next step in stopping the spread of the virus.
Farms of symptomatic cows have been testing. We have been trying to track how the virus is moving to the best of our ability, but it is an appropriate step for what we have learned since we found the virus in dairy cattle.
The Minnesota House Ways and Means Committee folded 8 supplemental bills into 3 to reduce the number of bills heard on the House floor. The agriculture bill was merged with the climate and energy and commerce bills.
South Dakota Soybeans Genesis Leaders Program has concluded its 2024 schedule, graduating 20 participants. For Ag PhD agronomist Zach Hefty, the program was a great experience that provided a lot of insight into the production side of agriculture.
South Dakota Genesis Program was pretty beneficial. It brought you to different locations that you might not go if you weren't going to be attending. Like, we were at a school. We went to a tech school. We went to the South Dakota Capitol Building. We went to Raven Industries. And it was a very interesting and eye-opening and a good learning experience and good networking. And it didn't take much time to be in the program, and just a good way to learn more about the agriculture industry with having some speakers and stuff already lined up for you.
Hefty says the networking was as beneficial as the topics covered by the program.
Just to network with people in agriculture that are very close by in South Dakota, but you might not have met them before, but they're all working towards a similar goal in agriculture, which is to feed the world. And every part matters, and it was good to hear about different speakers at each location and hear about different companies and different businesses in agriculture, and then just the networking piece with new people that we've made new friends now that we're able to communicate that are in all different sectors that you might not know as much about.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says the wheat market continues to lead the grains.
If we finish stronger today, what is it, 6-7 straight sessions in a row, we're going to see wheat finish with strength, and it's going to be the highest weekly close for wheat in 2 years. I mean, we are really looking at having a good performance, and part of that is because of the dry conditions down in the southern plains. You know, look at, you know, western Kansas and the panhandle of Oklahoma have been missing these rains, so the market's reacting to it. We're also seeing dry conditions in Russia and Ukraine adding to it, but the rain, I looked at the forecast this morning, the 1 to 5, the 6 to 10, and the 11 to 15, all calling for rain and warm temperatures for most of the Corn Belt. That means that they're going to be looking at hit and miss showers and the possibility of being in and out of fields for the next, you know, till the middle of May.
Bolt Marketing market analyst Dwayne Bossy says the livestock futures are chasing this week's cash cattle trade.
Well, higher cash cattle trade yesterday afternoon. Futures market kind of showed that a little bit before the close. Coming back, you know, feeders went down, filled the gap from Monday morning, then closed sharply higher. So big reversal of like $4 in one day there in feeders. Another dollar higher today. Going back to the placement numbers, you know, if placements are that tight, I think the funds stopped selling and getting out of long positions. Don't know if they really want to go long this market again. With the economy struggling just a little bit. So probably a pretty wide sideways range in cattle coming, maybe a bit of a chop fest. But the higher cash cattle trade just says that packers had to pay up this week, so that's not bearish.
AgWatch Market Advisors President Dewey Strickler says the lean hog market is struggling.
The cutout in pork, bellies especially, has been moving lower. That's the issue there. And looks like the cattle market is higher here today. We had the past couple of sessions, we had a downturn in the market and had a reversal higher here yesterday, so it looks like we're getting more of a technical bounce than anything else.
NDSU Extension cereal grains pathologist Andrew Friskup says many producers have established crop rotations that help mitigate disease pressures in wheat and barley.
Every year we're going to have an area or situation where you're going to have to pivot, and maybe the rotation is not as long as you would like it. So, you know, if you're getting a close rotation of wheat on wheat, or if you have to put wheat on wheat or wheat on barley, there are some pathogen transfer with the between those two crops. But in most cases, I think there's just a lot of really good, proactive management. We're seeing longer rotations, being able to break up some of those disease cycles. But, you know, if you do get painted into a corner and a little bit behind the eight ball, you know, certainly there are some management things you can do to help avoid some of the risk that you may be concerned about.
With earlier planting, seeds could spend more time below ground. Fungicide seed treatments can be helpful.
The quicker a plant gets above the soil surface, the less of an issue with stand, at least in wheat and barley, that we see. And if you have to put a number on it, on the value of a fungicide seed treatment and looking at stand establishment and emergence, over a very large data set of 50 experiments, generally we see about an 8% improvement in stand when a fungicide seed treatment is used. So a lot of this kind of considerations when we're setting up that, you know, when we put it in the ground, or our first goal is to get it above ground. And we can only control so much, and Mother Nature is obviously the one that needs to help us a little bit to get those plants going.
In the latest issue of Minnesota Crop News, black cutworm moths are being reported throughout the southern part of the state. Most captures report low to moderate numbers in some locations, such as Brown and Steele County. Significant numbers have been recorded. There could indicate a large migration has occurred and an increased potential for crop damage.
Monica Kramer was named by the Minnesota Rural Behavioral Health Provider of the Year by the Minnesota State University Mankato Center for Rural Behavioral Health. Kramer is a mental health specialist for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Kramer also has her own mental health consulting business called Eyes on the Horizon.
U.S. Class 1 railroads originated 24,000 grain carloads during the week ending April 13th. That's down 10% from the previous week and 3% less than last year. The average secondary rail car bids and offers were $25 above tariff, $88 more than the previous week. Barged grain movement totaled 463,000 tons, down 7% from the previous week. The rate to ship a metric ton of grain from the PNW to Japan was $33.25. That's 6% more than the previous week. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week editor Jenny Schlecht. Jenny, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week this week?
Well, this week we're doing a big kickoff to the planting season, both on Ag Week TV and in Ag Week magazine. And on our cover, we're looking at basically the planting progress so far, but really with a focus on why people want to and maybe should be out planting already if they want to maximize their yields and get ahead of things like drought conditions late in the summer.
I bet you get a wide variety of opinions, huh?
You know, it's funny. We had reporters throughout our team, throughout the region, working on this, and everyone was really united on it in that we have a short growing season, and if you can get in the field, if the soil conditions are right, even if maybe they're a little cold, that it might be advantageous to just get in and do it. And part of the reason is just, again, because we do have fairly short growing seasons, and as one of our experts said, you might have a frost early, but you can also have a frost late. And so maybe it's worth getting in there and just doing it. The other reason, and this primarily came from Laura Edwards, who's the state climatologist down in South Dakota, was that right now we're setting up for a pretty nice spring and early summer, but the outlooks are for things to turn drier towards August, September. And if we can get maybe corn in the field where it's pollinating and tasseling before that drought hits, we're going to be in a better situation.
Well, even that, especially too, like with the small grains, getting that in earlier the better usually.
Right, right. And so it might seem a little cold in places, and the soil temperatures are really widely variable across our region, of course, because we have a lot of different conditions. But it's going to warm up, not get colder at this point, is pretty much what they said. And so if you can get in, you should get in. And if not, one of our experts said, you know, we're not too late. It's just a matter of that if you can get in, you're probably better off getting in.
Well, Jenny, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Quick look at markets. Minneapolis May wheat, 4¾ cents higher at $6.95¾. Chicago, a half penny higher. Kansas City, 13¼ higher at $6.45¼. May corn futures down a penny and a quarter. Soybeans, 5¾ cents lower at $11.57. This is the Red River Farm Network.